Happy birthday, Living Way Church. Isn't that amazing? Pastor Doug and Val, we honor you and your vision for so many years. And Daniel and Athena, your vision for so many years. And God is good. And I believe over the next few minutes and over the next couple days that God is going to speak to us through His Word, because that's what He does. God is in the business of speaking to us and telling us what we need to hear, even sometimes when we don't want to hear it. But today we're going to want to hear it. I know, for sure, for sure. Yesterday I took my beautiful wife, Laura. She's over here. She's a grandma, even though she looks like she is 21. And I took my lovely wife on a date because she likes to do fun things. She likes to get a massage. She likes to play games. She likes to eat food. And so naturally, I took her to Costco. And we walked into Costco, and I said, "Here, honey, we're on our hot date. Why don't you come over here to the massage chair and sit down for a little while?" And she just, "Oh, this is nice." And I'm like, "Okay, we're done. That's enough. People are watching. So come on over here, honey. Let's go over here. And why don't you play Pac-Man?" Because they have the new Pac-Man machines. She's playing Pac-Man, and she's telling me what a loser at Pac-Man I am as she's winning. And then after we're done, we did the next best thing at Costco. We went and got food, you know, at all the little sampler places, right? Because we like free things. How many here like free stuff? If you don't know if you like free stuff and you think, "Nah, people don't really like free stuff," I invite you to go to Costco and get one of the invite-only memberships there and go see the little sample tables there and watch the utter carnage that happens when people try to cut other people off to get their free sample. We live in a world that likes free stuff. Isn't that true? Turn to your neighbor and say, "I like free stuff." Yes, we all like. There's no one here that doesn't like free stuff. And if you're going to give me free stuff, I'll take it. Your junk is my treasure, baby. You know, as we start off our next couple days together, I'm so honored to be here and share with you. We're going to talk about something I think is so important to us, and I think really is something that has been a foundation stone, and really over the next few minutes, foundation stones that Living Way Church has been built on that I think are good reminders for us and good things that we should think of as we go forward, as Pastor Daniel said, to maybe the next 47 years. And we're going to talk about this theme here right now called Freed to Serve. Everyone say freed to serve.
Freed.
Yes, say it like you mean it. Freed to serve.
Freed.
There we go, there we go. And it's not paid to serve. It's not enslaved to serve. It's not obligated to serve. But it is freed to serve. There's a big difference there. The Bible says here in our theme verse for the weekend, Galatians 5, it says, "For you have been called to live in freedom." Everyone say freedom.
Freedom.
You have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love, for the whole law can be summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. Free to serve. Now, over the next few minutes, we're going to talk about some foundational things. And for some of you, they might be reminders. For some of you, it might be a light bulb that turns on. For some of you, you might just think to yourself, "Man, I really needed to hear that. I needed to know that tonight because I was really kind of on my last rope here, the end of my rope." So as we think about this, I want you to just keep in mind over the next couple days that we're going somewhere. I'm going to take you on the journey that actually finishes tomorrow in our morning service. So as we think about tonight and this whole context, this whole concept of being freed to serve, just recognize that we're going somewhere. How many like it when you're actually going somewhere? We like to go somewhere. That's why you're here. You like to go somewhere. And so as we go somewhere, I want you to think over the next few minutes, "Man, God, what do you want to share with me over the next few minutes as we hear from your word? What is it that you want to teach me about this whole concept about being freed to serve?" Are you ready to learn? So let's ask the question, which should be the next logical question that we have, is what does it mean to be freed to serve? What does it mean for you and for me when we come into Christianity, when we come into a relationship with Christ? What does it mean that I'm freed to serve? How does that apply to my life? We must answer this question if we're going to live a life that is free to serve. Otherwise, we're just kind of making it up as we go. And we don't want to do that. We want to learn from God's Word. In the book of Galatians, Paul's dealing with a problem. And his problem is he's dealing with these people who want to add on to the faith. They're called Judaizers. And so basically what they were telling the Jewish, the Gentiles and the Jewish people, saying, hey, listen, if you want to come to Christ, fine, but you first have to pay to play. First, you have to become a Jew, and then, you know, we can talk about you being, you know, you can be this person that follows Christ too. It's kind of like this. When I go to Costco and I take my wife on a hot date, and she loves it, and I'm celebrating what a great husband I am, and we're there in Costco, and we're having a good time, and I'm thinking, man, I'm getting all this free stuff. Guess what? It's actually not free. You know why it's not free? Because I paid a membership. So what I think it's free, but it's really not free because I've actually paid a membership. So it's kind of like this facade. I'm thinking, oh, I'm getting free stuff. No, it's not, Zach. You actually have to pay a membership every year to get that stuff. So you paid for it. And, you know, it's interesting when we think about it because as Paul's dealing with this issue in the church in Galatians, He's dealing with this thing where these people were saying, hey, listen, you want to follow Christ, first you have to pay to play. First you have to almost like buy your membership. First you have to be circumcised, obey the law, do all these things. He said, hey, you know, and then earn your way basically into a right relationship with the Lord. First you have to buy your membership and then have faith. And basically what he was doing is they're nullifying the work of Christ and the freedom that we have in him. We often do that in our life, you know that? When we think about free to serve, we miss the whole concept biblically because we often like to tag on something else. For instance, we'll say, okay, I want to follow Christ, but I also need to do this, right? I believe in his gift of grace, but I also need to do this. I also need to go to church 100 times. I also need to give. I also need to say all my prayers. I also need to do this. And we feel like there's kind of like, okay, I need to pay to play. But that's really not being free, is it? Because you purchased it yourself. As we think about this concept, I want to bring it down to a really basic level to really understand what it means for you and for me as we celebrate 47 years of service in this church to people who didn't know Jesus, who now know Jesus, to thousands of people around the world who have come to know a Jesus who gives grace freely from this church. What does it mean moving forward in our lives to be free to serve? We must answer this question so that we might really live a life that is free to serve. So what does it mean? The first thing I want you to write down this morning when we answer the question, or tonight when we ask the question, what does it mean to be free to serve, is this. Free is the kingdom God has called you to live in. Everyone say kingdom. Free is the kingdom God has called you to live in. How many have ever been to a theater? The theater where you've watched a play, you've watched a movie. This is called raising your hand, everybody. How many have been there? There we go. Good job. So we've all been there. Now, how many, you bought a ticket, and let's say you invited your friends to the theater, and you said, hey, I got you some tickets, and I got tickets right next to me, so we'll meet you there. You guys just meet us there. We're in section G, row 12, you know, seat 17 and 18. Okay. And then the night of the theater comes, and then you go and you sit down, and then across the room you see your friends, and they're going to a different section. And then you say to them, hey, we're over here. Wouldn't that be the natural thing to say? Wouldn't it be, hey, we're over here. Don't sit over here. Come sit by us. We've already paid for the seats. You don't have to pay for the seats. You follow me right now? You say, hey, don't sit over there. Come on over here. But then they sit down over there anyway. Wouldn't that be the craziest thing ever? Like, what are they doing over there? Now, maybe you're the type of people that see your friends in the theater or your friends, and you're like, don't say anything. I don't want them to know I'm here. Shh. They might see us. Duck down. Wait till the lights go down, and then we'll be visible. Oftentimes in our relationship with the Lord, we live in this world where we forget that Christ has purchased seats for us and we sit somewhere else, or we try to buy our own tickets. We try to earn our own way. We try to make it on our own power, on our own wisdom, on our own insight, on our own intelligence, on our own success, on our own suaveness, whatever it is in your life. And you think, well, I'm going to do this because I don't, right? And then we live in this life where we're basically Jesus is saying, hey, I've got seats for you over here. What are you doing over there? But yet we kind of go over there in and of our own accord. I want you to grasp this whole concept in your life, wherever you're at in your marriage, in your job, and in your family life, and in your mental life, whatever it is, that God has very much called us to live in a kingdom of freedom. Yes. Think about it for a second. He's called us to live in a kingdom of freedom. And to help you understand this over the next few minutes, what I want to do is I just want to give you a few of the things that the Bible teaches us that are free in Jesus Christ. How many of you like free things?
Yes.
There's a few things in here in Scripture. Now, we can't cover all of them tonight. We can only cover a few. How many of you remember the old school commercials that they would say, hey, if you buy now, we're going to throw in a whole set of pots and pans, nonstick pots and pans. If you call now for free, call now while supplies last. How many of you remember that? I'm not trying to demean anything we're going to talk about, but I want you to understand the urgency of what we're going to explain over the next few minutes, because it's so important to our everyday life of what it means to be freed to serve. I want you to understand tonight how good, gracious, and generous God is to you. Everyone say good, gracious, and generous God is to you. And so, well, just the generous part. You didn't have to say the rest, but good job, everybody. We like free stuff. But I want you to understand it free as in the context of your life and how God changes us and why He's so good to us and so generous to us and so kind to us and so compassionate to us and shows His faithfulness and mercy not only to us but to generations. It's pretty amazing if you think about it. So what does it mean to have these free things in Jesus, if you will? Number one, you get the free gift. You get the free gift of salvation. We get the free gift of salvation. Billy Graham, I watched him in an interview once, not too long before he died, and they talked about his evangelism, you know, one of the greatest preachers of all time to actually go around the world and reach millions of people with the message of Jesus Christ. And they talked about his evangelism, simply meaning sharing Jesus with other people. And they say, well, how would you do it? And he would actually, he said, every time they did a sound check, every time they did a video check, he would quote this verse. Maybe you've heard it before. John 3:16-17, it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him." And Billy Graham had this mindset. He said, I just hope that even the guy behind the camera or the guy in the sound booth would hear the good news of Jesus Christ, that they have salvation in His name.
Yes.
What a wonderful thing it is for us to grasp and understand in our life that we are saved because of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Not because you paid for it, not because you had a paid-to-play mentality, but because God so loved you that He sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross, not to condemn you, but to save you.
Yes.
Now, oftentimes in Christendom, we think, oh, that's so elementary. I know that stuff. But listen, this is the fundamental foundation stone of the gospel. That we have free salvation in Jesus Christ because He already paid it for us.
Yes.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
It's very important to understand that we cannot save ourselves. How many have ever bought anything on Amazon? Okay, that's all of us. It's like its own church altogether. Have you ever bought anything online and it'll say, your price is, you know, $27.95. Shipping is $10. But if you spend another $15, shipping is free. You ever seen that? You know that's a lie, right? You actually pay for the shipping when you buy more product. Okay? You're not getting shipping for free. I know it's a shocker to a lot of people. You're not getting it. For some of you, your mathematical mind just went, wow, you actually pay for it when you buy more product. That's how it works. That's called an upsell. It's called an upsell. What we need to know about Jesus is that there is no addendum to the clause. There is no upsell that actually costs you. Watch what Ephesians chapter 2 says. It says, God saved you by His grace. Everyone say His grace.
Grace.
That's important. God saved you by His what?
Grace.
His what?
Grace.
His what?
Grace.
Watch this. His grace. When you believed. Not when you worked harder. Not when you did all these things. Not when you did A, B, C, and D. Not when you... whatever it is you have in your mind you feel like you have to do. He saved you by His grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things that we have done, so none of us can boast about it. Isn't that wonderful? It's this whole mindset. This is what separates us, Christians, from every other religion in the world. That we are saved by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Man, what a relief!
Yes.
That means that every single day of my life when I don't feel worthy, I can just look to the cross and say, I'm worthy because He's worthy, not because of anything I've done.
Yes.
What a wonderful relief! What a burden lifted off! What a breath of fresh air!
Yes.
I can't pay for it, ever. We get this for free. Because of Jesus. We must understand this fundamental truth if we're going to understand ourselves what it means to be freed to serve. Because God loves us that much. What are the other things that I get for free in Jesus Christ? Well, I'm free from sin. Who here has ever sinned? Just look around the room. Hold your hand up high, just for a minute. Yeah, that's me, sinner. Thought the building was going to collapse when I walked in. Thought it was going to be terrible. That's all of us. We're born sin. The Bible says no one's good by our birth. Basically, we're subject to God's wrath. These are not fun things, but it is the truth. We're free from sin. Sin, how many of you know, can just really entangle our lives. It can really wrap us up. Cause us to do things we think to ourselves, how did I ever get here? What wrong turn did I make to make me addicted to this thing? Deal with this depression, anxiety, to have a broken marriage, and then sometimes we feel like, what did I do wrong? Sin is what we've all done wrong. Just a few days ago in our men's breakfast at Fusion Christian Church, a young man walked in and he sat down at the breakfast, and as is our custom, we go around the tables and we celebrate a win. We say, hey, what good thing is God doing in your life? And everybody was talking about this, that, and the other. And it got to him, and he said, a lot of you guys might not remember, but my first time to come to this church was about 11 months ago. And he says, this men's breakfast was the very first meeting I had ever been to. He goes, and when I came here, he goes, I was so depressed because my young son had died. He goes, I drowned myself in cocaine and alcohol for 11 months. And when I walked into this church, and I walked into this men's breakfast, he says, I was seriously contemplating killing myself. He says, I was so desperate, I just thought, what's the point of living? I might as well die, then I can go be with my son. This was his mentality. He says, I drowned my whole life in cocaine and alcohol. He goes, but then I started coming here. He goes, and I gave my life to Jesus. And he goes, and my whole life changed. He goes, I've been 11 months sober. I'm married now. I have a great job. I have the best friends I've ever had in my life. Jesus Christ gives us freedom from sin. This was his win. This is your win.
Yes.
This is your powerhouse statement. That I get this whole life that I don't have to be bound up by sin anymore. I could be free from it. Isn't that awesome? And my whole life can live. I can live in that freedom. Romans 6 tells us, but now that you have been set free, say set free. Set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit that you reap leads to holiness. That's a changed life. And the results in eternal life. The benefit you reap from being free from sin is that I no longer live the way I used to live. Now I start living for Christ. It doesn't mean now all of a sudden you live perfectly, but now I start walking down the road where I'm headed toward Christ and with Christ instead of toward destruction and cocaine and alcohol and pornography and depression and anxiety and bitterness and rage and anger. Now I start heading towards hope and thankfulness and gratitude and purpose and a plan and God and eternity. Wow, I want some of that. Those are the things we get. You get free. You're free from sin. What a message we carry. What a hope we carry. What good news. But that's not all. What are the other things that we get for free when we come to know Christ? Well, you're free from eternal condemnation. How many apps, just look at me right now, church. How many of you just love it? It is your most favoritest thing in the whole wide world when people hang things over your head and hold things against you. Anyone? How many love it when people say, I remember what you did in 1976 and I'll never forget it. I remember what you said. I remember what you did last summer. I remember whatever it is. And they hold and they'll say, and I'll never forget. Maybe that's you. Maybe you've been saying that to people. I'll never forget and I'll never forgive. How many love that? No one on the planet loves that. Not a single person in the whole wide world loves that, right? No one does. And it's a very human thing for us to do, to kind of hold grudges and hang things over people's heads and say, oh, I'm going to be mad. Okay, well, I'll forgive you, but not till next Tuesday. And we get all kinds of things in our life. All right, you know, fine, I'm mad, but we're not going to be friends anymore because, you know, I'm better than you. Aren't you glad you're not God? I'm glad you're not God, because I would have no hope. Turn around just the room and look at your neighbors. Aren't you glad they're not God? Because you would be toast. Toast. You would have been dead weeks ago. Would have fried your behind right on the spot. How many know I'm speaking the truth right now? In a moment of rage, I'm God. Poof. Finding a new friend. Finding a new spouse. Finding new kids. Poof. All gone. I'm so glad you're not God. Sometimes I wish I was. But anyways, when we come to know Jesus, I don't know, maybe you really need to hear this tonight. You are very much, in every real sense of the word, free from condemnation. Other people might hold things against you, but when you come to know Jesus, God holds nothing against you. Romans 8 tells us this. It says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Where? In Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. When you come to Christ, you do the great crossover. You do the great exchange. Basically, you were once walking in death and condemnation and guilt and shame and sin. And when you come to Jesus, you cross. Jesus says you cross over from death to life. Watch what he said in John 5. He says, I tell you the truth. Aren't you so glad we have a Jesus who tells us the truth? I tell you the truth, those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. They will never be condemned. They will never be condemned. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death to life. The wonderful thing about being freed to serve is that I am free from condemnation. I might sometimes condemn myself because I get back in this whole world of sin and shame and guilt, but God is bigger than my feelings, and he reminds me through his word, I have no condemnation through him in Christ Jesus. And now I can boldly, the Bible says, go into the throne room of God and find grace and mercy to help me in my time of need. Why? Because he doesn't condemn me, he accepts me. That's a powerful truth. And if we're going to ever understand what it really means to be freed to serve, we have to understand our standing point in Christ Jesus. Maybe today you have been just dealing with that whole life of condemnation. Maybe there's secret things in your life and secret things in your heart and things you're like, man, if people found out about this, there's no way they would accept me. You don't know how to deal with it. Maybe you've made bad decisions and you have broken relationships and broken things in your life. And you're like, man, I feel like God's never going to love me. That's a real feeling for some people. God's never going to accept me because I've done too many things wrong. You can go to church a million times and still have those feelings. There is no condemnation. You are free from condemnation, not because you did something miraculous, but because Jesus did. Because he took our condemnation on the cross. It's the great replacement. The Bible says that he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. In other words, Jesus hung on the cross as holy God the whole time. He could not sin because he's holy. He was God in the flesh. But yet God poured out our deserved wrath on him and treated him as if he had done all the sin of the world, and yet turns, through my faith in him and his sacrifice on the cross, treats me as if I was never a sinner to begin with. It's called being declared righteous, right in his sight. There's no condemnation there. I got to tell you, even preaching it, my mind has a hard time grasping it. Because you know what my mind wants to do and my sinful nature wants to do? Remind me what a total reject I've been, and what poor decisions I've made, and how I failed so many times, and how, you know, those things shouldn't cross my mind. All those things, you know what? That's why we need the Word of God to come into our life and say, you know, I want to remind you in such a real way that there's no condemnation for those who have faith in Jesus Christ. And if God doesn't condemn you, then no one can. And that leads us to the next free thing we get in Jesus, and that's the free gift of eternal life. Yesterday was Friday, and if you get paid on a Friday, yesterday was payday. How many of you like getting paid for work? All right, some of you aren't sure. Think about it tonight and come back tomorrow. We like getting paid for work because we work hard, and so we like getting a paycheck. It's just common sense life. We like to get paid. So I remember when I was really young, about 15, 16 years old, apart from working for my dad, one of my first jobs was working at McDonald's, the place that trains true employees. I was there. And I worked for 6 months. And the manager was saying, Zach, we want to train you to be assistant manager, or maybe it was assistant to the regional manager, but he was training me. He says, hey, we're gonna make you the manager. And I'm like, okay, great. And so he says, you know, take a couple year program. Okay, so I worked 6 months, and he sat me down. He goes, hey, Zach, he goes, you're doing a great job. We're so proud of you here. And my wage an hour was $4.25 an hour. And much different than the new fast food wage next year at $20 an hour. So $4.25 an hour. And he says, you're doing a great job, Zach. He said, we're so proud to give you a nickel raise. 5 cents. Okay? I could only buy one Laffy Taffy at 7-Eleven back then for 5 cents. Right? Guess how long I lasted there? About another day. No one likes to stay at a job where the pay is terrible, where the wage is terrible. Am I right? This is just common sense thinking. No one wants to stay at a job where you get a terrible wage. Amen? We like to get paid for our money, for our work. Now, what we forget sometimes is that sin has the worst paycheck of all. It has the worst payday of all time. There's no pay worse than sin gives out. Watch what Romans 6:23 says. It says, for the wages of sin is death. Is what? This, the wages of sin is death. What if your check next Friday, your boss just wrote death? And just like, you're like, thanks. Yeah, I was kind of hoping for life this week, but I guess death is all I get. I'll take it. See you Monday. That would be terrible. But the Bible tells us, and I love the words that the Bible uses to help us understand it, to help us, you know, comprehend what it's talking about here. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift, everyone say free gift. Now, wait a minute. There's a wage I earn here that's terrible, but over here I get a free gift. Which one do we want? Do I want the terrible wage, or do I want the free gift that comes from the Lord? How many want the free gift? Just curious. Okay, good. I was hoping you guys were still with me in that point. But the free gift of God is eternal life. So that means it doesn't just affect my right now. It doesn't just affect my next week, my next year, my next 5 years. This now affects my eternity. This is a serious wage. This is a serious game. This is a serious plan. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. If I can just put it in simple terms for you, no one pays out better than God. No one. Not your hard work, not your boss, not your future retirement plans, not your 401k, your Roth IRA, or your stocks, or your Bitcoin, poor people. No one pays out better than God. This totally should change the way we think about the kingdom of freedom that we live in. It means that in Christ, not in myself, but in Christ, because of his finished work on the cross, that he died on the cross and took God's wrath in my place, that he paid for my sins that I needed to pay for and deserved to pay for. Not because something happened to me or I'm a victim, but because I'm a sinner. And he took my sin on the cross and was buried in the grave and rose to new life so that through him I might live a new life of freedom in him. A totally radical new way to live that was completely foreign to me when I was dead in my sin. Because when I was dead in my sin, I didn't understand what it meant to have newness of life. But when I come to know Jesus, all of a sudden my whole life changes and my whole eternal perspective changes, because now I recognize that I have free salvation, that I have been saved not by works, not by merit, but by Christ on Calvary. It means that I'm free from the bondage of sin that used to entangle me so much. It used to wrap up my life so much that I felt like, man, I have no freedom. It means that when I come to Christ, I'm free from condemnation. That even though there's people in this world that might not forgive me, through Christ, God always forgives me. It means that not only that, God doesn't stop there. He says that in all that, I actually want you to come live with me for eternity. I mean, let's just be honest. Some of us, you know, we like to be together. We got a 15-minute, 20-minute tops. Okay, we've been together long enough. I'll see you. I'll see you later. Right? Like, okay, well, you can stay at my house for one night. Then got an imaginary friend coming in and you're going to have to leave. But God, so rich in mercy, so kind to us, had the wisdom and the foresight that before you were even born, to send Christ to Calvary so that you could live in this kind of a kingdom of freedom, not of bondage, not of shame, and not of death. So the question we have to ask is, what should I do with all this free stuff? That's the question. Now what? I have all this free stuff. This is a totally radical way for me to live. Now what do I do? Well, the first thing that we shouldn't do is that you don't do what you shouldn't do. And that is, fall back. Yeah, don't do what you shouldn't do. Don't fall back into your sin. Our human nature, our sinful nature, likes to live as God's enemy. When we come to Christ, we struggle with the two. That's why Paul says, man, I know what I ought to do, but I don't do it, man. Who's going to free me from this miserable wretch of a person that I am? And he says, thanks be to God, the answer is Jesus Christ our Lord.
Yes.
So every single day I make this decision, God, I'm not going back to that city.
Right.
I want to live in the kingdom of freedom.
Right.
I'm not going back to that place. I'm living in the kingdom of freedom. I'm not going back to condemnation. I'm going to a place where I'm free from condemnation.
Right.
I'm not going back to bondage and sin. I'm going to a place where I'm free from sin. I'm not going to a place where I have the wages of sin is death. I'm going to a place where God gives me a free gift of eternal life. That sounds much better to me. So I make this conscious effort to say, you know what, I don't want to go back. We used to sing this song, and I actually thought about this when I was preparing this message, and I actually thought about Mother over there, and we used to sing this song, right? And some of you, if I sing it, she's probably gonna chime right in, right? He didn't bring us out this far to take us back again, right? He brought us out to bring us into the promised land. How many know that song? Though there be giants in the land, we need not be ashamed. He brought us out to take us in to the promised land. We don't sing songs like that anymore. But it's so important because we, like the Israelites, we think, oh, I was better back when. I was better back in the slavery. I was better back when we were slaves in Egypt. I felt like I had it better back then. And God's word says completely the contrary. In fact, God's word says, in Christ, you've never had it so good. I want to ask you a few important questions. As we think about our theme verse here in Galatians 5, it says, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Free is the kingdom God has called us to live in. And we think in our life that, we should think in our life that God has things He wants us to do with that freedom. He has things He's called us to do with that freedom. So I want you to consider a couple questions tonight. What would your life look like if you started living in this freedom? What would your marriage look like? What would your relationships look like? What would your attitude look like? What would your purpose look like if you started living in this kind of freedom? And number two, what steps could you take to let others know about this freedom in Christ? You know, there's a lot of people who live in this bondage all around Poway, all around your home, all around your office at work, all around your family, who live with this condemnation, this bondage to sin, this lack of freedom, and they don't understand what it really means to come to know Christ and all the benefits that we have in His name. I want you to consider those questions tonight. And tomorrow, we're going to take the next step in learning how to live out this freedom that we've been freed to serve. Because now we know what we're in for. We have all these great freedoms. So now, what are we going to do with it? And that's what I want to talk to you about tomorrow. Let me pray. Lord, we're so thankful that You have given us so many wonderful treasures, so much freedom in Christ Jesus, Lord, not anything that we could possibly ever earn on our own and for ourselves. But God, You brought about a kingdom of freedom for those people who, by faith, believe in Your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray as we learn this that we would walk in the freedom that You've given us. Not in sin, not in condemnation, not in eternal judgment, Lord, but the wonderful freedoms that we have in You. Lord, I pray that would be a reality in our hearts every single day. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.